the BBC actually tried to get you to, you and your wife, to uproot yourselves from Hoyt and come down to the rather posh south.
Yes, very
posh.
But
you didn't want to do that, did you?
I didn't. I fancied the job, but I didn't fancy living down there in the very least. I think the idea was that I would do rugby during the winter and athletics during the summer and join the athletics group, and that would have been great fun because they're absolutely out the top draw. But to be honest, the thought of living down in London was just not on for me. Home provides lovely therapy after a broadcast. You well know there's a good lot of adrenaline flows during a broadcast, and I don't know about you, Gerald, but I feel after a commentary, you know, sort of flat a bit. You've given as much as you can. And I can go home and I can take the car, and Bet and I can drive, you know, just a mile. And we're in the middle of nowhere. We're in the heather. We're amongst the hill birds and the hares. And you can walk for miles and not meet a soul. And it's the most marvellous therapy. Not suggesting that can't be done down in the south of England, but it certainly never appealed to me. And you know, Hoyt's him, isn't it?
But you see, that way you've managed to keep it all in perspective. It's very easy to go quietly bonkers about sport, isn't it? I wonder whether you went quietly bonkers when you were doing commentary on that unforgettable day at Murrayfield when Scotland beat the French to do the Grand Slam.
That was one of the great joys I've had in commentary.
Was that your greatest joy?
I think it was, yes. I've had one or two that have given me immense pleasure, but I'd said some years before that I had one great ambition, was to be doing the commentary when Scotland next won the Triple Crown. And to be honest, I was saying to them, for goodness sake, hurry up, because they were taking a long time about it. Actually, I was at the previous time, on the previous occasion when they won the Triple Crown, 1938, a marvellous game at Twickenham.
You must have been a small boy.
Yes, I was a schoolboy. I was just 12 and a half, 13. And my father and his factory friends had decided to go down on one of those cook's tours by train. And one of my father's friends, Jock Dodds, had a son, and I was about my own age, and so I got along as well as company for him. And, you know, I think for about £3.12 and 6, you got down on the train, you got an orange, you had breakfast, I'll never forget it, because we were sitting in that huge east stand at Twickenham, beautiful sunny day, and not only did Scotland win with 5 tries, but I can remember my father pointing out to me about 4 or 5 rows in front of us some of the greats upon whom I'd been nurtured in a way, stories about them, Herbert Waddle, Max Simmers, G.P.S. McPherson. They'd won the Grand Slam in 1925, and as a very small boy, my father had told great stories about them. Doug Davis charging into a goalpost at Murrayfield, the post shivering, and Doug going over and scoring, getting up and running down the... and all that kind of thing, so that with that in mind, I really did have a keen desire to be doing the commentary when Scotland won the crown. I never thought for a moment that they would win the Grand Slam, and I would have been eminently satisfied with the Triple Crown. But that day when they beat the French was astonishing, because the French really should have won the game hands down. Mm-hmm. They had Scotland in a vice in the first half, played some lovely rugby, and then rather lost the head a bit. And, you know, when the final whistle blew and the Scots had done it, it was a marvellous thing for me.
Must have felt very emotional.
Yes, I did.
Was it difficult to be impartial in those circumstances?
No, I don't think so. I've always enjoyed good rugby football, irrespective of who played it. But I must say that the fact that it was Scotland, and they'd come back really from almost from the dead, as it were, and got that victory with that Calder try in the last moment, and the scenes at Murrayfield, the like of which we hadn't witnessed before, it really was something special. And that great euphoria, well, it's done. And that was wonderful, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.